Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Tuesday. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. 1 hour from now, The Herd hierarchy, 10 best teams in the NFL. I promise I'll have the Steelers somewhere in the top 10. And the Saints, by the way.
Yeah, so, you didn't have the Saints in the top ten last week, huh?
I didn't. I just all year long, I'm like, can't throw a deep ball in this league now. Forget it. So that's Joy Taylor, of course. Joy, I'm going to say something. I'm not going to speak for women. I want to speak for men.
Okay.
We're lousy at exes.
At exes?
We have great pickup lines. We don't know how to break up.
Oh, yeah.
We always get into wars. We can't get out of them. And that's the theme, Joy, for today's start. Guys are great entering stuff. And then we walk into a restaurant, bar, we got the pickup line. We can never get out of a relationship, right? It's always clunky, right? Do I email her, call her? I mean, we've always done this as guys. We're good getting into business. We come up with ideas, then it unravels. How do we get out of this thing? Exit strategies is a skill. Some do it better than others. Johnny Carson, great last show. Boom, out. Never saw him again. That's how you do it. Bill Belichick, smart. Tom Brady left New England. Why would he stick around? I mean, you see what's going on in New England. Bill Belichick's won 43% of his games in his career. Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. So when they win last night, they are no longer getting one of the top three college quarterbacks. Top five picks in the NFL draft. Three of the five teams are taking a quarterback. Jets 1, Jags 2, Washington number 5. Dallas and the Giants, my guess is, stick with their current quarterbacks. Well, Colin, they can get Zach Wilson. They can get Zach Wilson at BYU. No, they can't. Today, the Patriots have the 13th pick. Beyond those top three, Jets, Jags, Washington, Carolina, Atlanta, Detroit, and Minnesota may all draft Zach Wilson. They're not getting the number 4 quarterback. And they're going to beat the Jets again. And they'll probably win another game because of Belichick. What's their quarterback solution? Brady left New England. Why can't Bill? Bill knows you can't win in this. All I heard in the offseason, all Joy and I heard, Belichick, he's brilliant. He'll go 11-5 on genius. You're watching them. They can't move the sticks. They got lucky to win. Lucky to beat the Jets last night. We're outplayed most of the game by the Jets. You can't. Pete Carroll couldn't win. Bill Belichick couldn't win. You can't win without a quarterback. And the quarterbacks are getting better and they're getting younger. And you got to have a quarterback. New England's got Josh McDaniels. The owner, Kraft, likes him. They already signed him to a massive extension, highest paid coordinator. Just think about this today. They can't solve their quarterback solution. They're not running this Cam thing back. They're not running this thing back. Garoppolo, I get it, but he's never healthy. Matt Ryan, have you watched the NFL? Matt Ryan's not the future. He's expensive, he's past his prime, and he can't move. He's a statue. Look around the league right now. The Jags are going to get the number 2 pick and a star quarterback. Bill Belichick, old guys like Florida. Parcells went there, so did Coughlin. Jags, Bill, run the whole show. You're the coach, you're the quarterback, here's Justin Fields. It is built for Belichick. It is built for Belichick. L.A. Chargers. They need a new coach, right? They got the star quarterback. They're in a crowded sports market. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Rams, USC, to hockey, to soccer, to baseball, World Series champs, NBA champs. They got to make a splash. Justin Herbert and Belichick sell tickets to a franchise, the Chargers, that can't sell tickets. But if you look at the Jaguars, they could use a coach and a GM, and they'd give total power to Belichick with Justin Fields. Okay, cap space and a star quarterback. Chargers already have the star quarterback, have a really good GM. They're ready to win now. The Chargers are, they take a 2-touchdown lead on everybody. I could throw in Houston too with Deshaun Watson. The guy running him right now is Belichick's friend. I could throw in the Bengals, although I do think their coach has done a really good job. They do have Burrow, but I don't know. I think Belichick's done Ohio before. I think he's done with Ohio. But you start now in 6 months, Belichick's going to wake up. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the Jets quarterback. Tua's the Dolphins quarterback. And Josh Allen's the Bills quarterback. It is, and you got Jarrett Stidham. It's time to go. That's what Nick Saban's sitting around in Alabama doing. That's what Nick Saban's doing. He's sitting around waiting for the $6 million a year college football analyst job at a network. But he's still good, and he's still got his quarterback. But Saban has told people, I don't want to be Bobby Bowden. I don't want to be one of these guys, Joe Pa. I want to exit at the right time. And Saban's young, but he's like, I want to go move right into television, and I'm going to do it. He's just going to sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait and go, okay, boom, I'm done. Now, this year, Alabama's really good, looked like the best team in the country, so this isn't the year he's going to step out. But Belichick's got nothing to prove. If he's looking for power and a young quarterback, Jacksonville is made for him. And Belichick has had enough of Nantucket and Boston winters. His beautiful girlfriend, I think they'd love to live on the beach. And by the way, the Chargers, they're desperate to sell tickets. They can't sell tickets in Los Angeles. They have the star quarterback. The Spanos family has been reluctant through the years to pay big money for a coach, but they've had some good coaches. Time to get another one. But this idea, Brady left and it surprised us. What's Bill have to sit around for? Robert Kraft has a coach in waiting. The division now. You're going to have Tua, Josh Allen, and Trevor Lawrence because the Jets are moving off Darnold. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. Perfect time to bolt. And this idea, well, you know, Bill's a genius. You can be the world's smartest guy. Pete Carroll was fired twice and 14-18 in Seattle pre-Russell Wilson. And Belichick won 43% of his games before Brady. And he had good quarterbacks. Drew Bledsoe can spin it. So I think exit strategy, that there's an art to leaving at the perfect time. Let Josh McDaniel face Trevor Lawrence twice a year and Tua twice a year and Josh Allen twice a year. And by the way, Flores looks to be a great coach. Great. And by the way, Sean McDermott in Buffalo, great young coach. You want to cement your legacy? Hand it off to Josh McDaniels. New England's run is officially over. Bill, go grab some golf clubs. Either go to Jacksonville or the Chargers. Get your star quarterback. You deserve it. You did it the hard way in New England. You built it from scratch. You turned Brady into a six-round pick to a star. Belichick has earned the right to cherry pick. At the end of his career, Peyton Manning earned the right to pick Denver. Tom Brady earned the right to pick the Buccaneers and their weapons. Bill Belichick has earned the right to go, I don't want to rebuild. The Chargers ready to win now. Or go to Jacksonville. Rebuild again with a star quarterback. But Tom left, why can't Bill? So the story, Tampa got blown out, just terrible. And Bruce Arians, for the second time, took a little bit of a shot at Brady not getting the ball to Mike Evans. Here we go.
With him being the best receiver on this team, why isn't Byron making a more concerted effort of getting Mike involved in the passing game earlier?
Mike was open a bunch in that ball game. He just didn't get targeted. That's all. He was open. Mike was open.
Oh, that's a little. Let me just say this. It doesn't really matter. Here's the big problem in Tampa this morning. They're a fifth seed. They're a wild card team. Saints beat them twice. Saints are the number one seed. They're going to get a bye right now. New England, as of this morning, would have to go on the road three times to get to the Super Bowl. They'd have to go to Philadelphia and Carson Wentz and win there. Tampa would go to Philadelphia. Tommy and Tampa would go to Philadelphia, Carson Wentz. Could you win there? And then Tommy and Tampa would go to New Orleans and face Sean Payton in the Superdome and Drew Brees. Got to win there. And then Tommy and Tampa would have to go to Seattle and beat Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson there. That ain't happening. Brady never won back-to-back road playoff games in New England. And that was with Belichick. That was with great defenses. That was with O's outstanding top five offensive lines. He's got the defense, but he doesn't have the O-line he had in New England or the coach. Just say it out loud. Playoffs, road, Carson Wentz, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson. You're not winning those games. You may win one of them. You're not winning all three. So Sunday wasn't just about an ugly loss. Sunday was about officially becoming a wild card team in the NFC. Things may get worse. You may have to go to Green Bay and face Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Philadelphia in their division goes on a win streak. Maybe Green Bay struggles a little bit. I mean, all I know is today it's Wentz, Breeze, Russell Wilson. All with really good coaches. One's already beaten Belichick in a Super Bowl. Sean Payton's got a Super Bowl, and so does Pete Carroll. You're not beating those quarterbacks and those coaches back to back to back on the road. It's not about what Bruce says or Tom says. He couldn't win back-to-back playoff games back-to-back in a weaker AFC. NFC's too thick now. He's 4-4. Tom was 4-4 on the road. Said this for years. Part of the greatness of Tom, let's be honest about it, was the dysfunction of Miami and the Jets and the Bills. He always got a home bye. He went 5-1 or 6-0 in division all those years. Usually 5-1. So that's Sunday's loss. The finger-pointing stuff, I couldn't care less about. But this is a wild-card team now. They're not winning their division. And to go on the road three straight times and win, three Super Bowl-winning coaches. Three Super Bowl-winning coaches. Brady's not getting to a Super Bowl in Tampa. That's what Sunday. Sunday said they're still really good, but so much of sports is your path. I mean, Georgia's a great football pro. If Georgia played in the Pac-12, if Georgia played in the Big 12, they'd play in the national championship game every year. But Clemson gets to play in the lousy ACC, so their path is easier. Much harder to get out of the SEC and get through Alabama. Your path, I mean, New England's path for 20 years was Jets, Dolphins, Bills, 5-1, bye home playoff game. That was a huge component to their success. They're not winning three straight roadies against Super Bowl-winning coaches. They're not doing that. Tampa's out of the Super Bowl run. They're not winning the Super Bowl with that. Unless the Saints go into the tank, which, if Drew Brees is upright and Sean Payton still coaching, is not going
to
happen.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Jerry Jones always does a Tuesday morning press conference. If I was a coach of a team or GM, I wouldn't love my owner holding a press conference. He does. It's Dallas. It's 103.5 The Fan. And the media in Dallas, you know, everybody's got eyes. We're looking at Kyler and Tua and Lamar, and we're looking at this great quarterback play, and Cowboys can't score, and Dak's off an injury. So the inevitable questions come up to Jerry Jones every week.
Is it crazy to bring up the idea of taking a quarterback with the third pick or the second pick, if you may have it?
Yes. You asked me if it's crazy to bring the idea up, and I'm answering you, yes. We're playing games here, guys, but it's not the thing to be talking about at all. You know, Dak is our quarterback.
But, I mean, it's a question, and the reason people are asking it is Dak isn't Lamar or Kyler Murray, or he doesn't look like even Herbert right now, or Joe Burrow, and he's got one playoff win, and three of the 4 years he had the best running back and the best offensive line easily in the NFL. Remember, it is hard if you're great. Russell Wilson's great. He's the best football player in the world. He's the best football player in the world. Mahomes is the best quarterback talent. But Russell's the best football player in the world. Since getting to a Super Bowl against New England, he's never won back-to-back playoff games. It's hard. Like, it's hard. Go look at Big Ben, Tomlin. They're going to end up in the Hall of Fame. They always have good defenses. They draft well. They develop well. Where are their back-to-back playoff wins in the last decade? That's with Hall of Fame first ballot coaches and quarterbacks. Is Mike McCarthy? I mean, I don't know. You're watching what I'm watching. I think Dallas is becoming, the Dallas Cowboys have become the Lakers. They're all up in their feelings. It's a big brand. It's a family business. They've got lots of trophies in the case when they walk by them every morning down the hallway as they go to their offices. And those things, you know, they reverberate. It's in your conscience. You're sitting, we're the Cowboys and this and that. And then the Lakers had Magic Johnson running the team. And all of a sudden they said, okay, we got to make a seismic move. Fire Magic, go get LeBron. And now they have championships again. Dallas has to make a seismic move. That's why I don't buy Dak as the long-term future. Dallas suddenly is soft. They're all in their feels. The 49ers get to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. They lead in the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo in the fourth quarter. The minute the Super Bowl is over, multiple sources say They were on the phone looking for potentially another quarterback. Like that's the way the game works. I mean, Belichick loved Tom Brady less after Super Bowl wins than Jerry loves Dak now. If the Cowboys helmet, if the Cowboys were an emoji, they should just make this their new helmet. If the Cowboys were an emoji, they'd be the heart eyes. Because they're all in their feels. Russell Wilson struggles to win back-to-back playoff games. Big Ben can't. And that's with Pete Carroll and Mike Tomlin. Those are top six, seven coaches in the league. It's nothing against Dak. There's a place for Dak in the league. I mean, he puts up stats, but, you know, if you take out the Giants and the Washington football team, and Giants are actually not bad this year. If you take those two teams out, Dallas last 2 years has five wins. But I think Jerry, I think they have to make a seismic move with the organization. I just don't think they're comfortable with it. That's okay. But I watch this. When you get these big brands and a lot of trophies in the trophy case, and it's a family business, and you know, it's hard to say, Magic, you're fired. It's hard to say, Dak, we love you, but. It's hard to do that stuff. I'm not saying it's not hard. But God, Belichick showed less loyalty to Brady, and the Niners were on the phone an hour after the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. Sometimes you got to be cold in this league. The NFL is, it's not for long, right? You got to be cold sometimes. And I think Dallas is the heart emoji now. Hearts in the eyes. That's what they are. They're all in their feels. Good luck. But that's, if you want Super Bowls, that's a rough way to go. I've seen that thing play out poorly multiple times.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I made my NFL predictions, and I thought this was going to be mostly a rebuilding year for Miami, but I love the way they finished last year, 5-4 in their last nine, better than New England, but I thought they'd still be kind of 7-9. When you got a good coach like Brian Flores, they're good. The problem with them being good, it's bad for Cleveland. So if you look at the AFC playoff picture to now, and remember, the Raiders have already beaten Cleveland. So if that's a tie, the Raiders go in. So not only are the Raiders ahead of the Cleveland Browns, but the Dolphins are now in a tiebreaker ahead of the Cleveland Browns. And here's the problem. Here's Cleveland's remaining schedule. And they've got what I would call a wildly inconsistent defense. Love Myles Garrett. You could have the rest of it. They face these quarterbacks with a so-so defense. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Big Ben, Carson Wentz, Ryan Tannehill. These are really good quarterbacks. Miami faces with this defense, which is a great defense, a bunch of baby quarterbacks. If you go and look at who the Dolphins face in the next month, rookie Justin Herbert, seemingly rookie Drew Locke, Sam Darnold, Joe Burrow. By the way, then they get the Patriots 2 weeks after that and Josh Allen 2 weeks after that. So if you said this morning, I have to take the Dolphins or the Browns in the playoffs, better coach, looks like Miami, we'll wait on Tua, but he looks really efficient. They just beat Kyler Murray on the road. So all I see with Cleveland is a not trustable defense outside of Myles Garrett and a lot of big-name quarterbacks. With Miami, I see a lot of rookie quarterbacks or quarterbacks with less than 15 NFL starts with that defense and that coaching staff. Miami is better than we thought. And I've said this before about a business. I could take over Netflix today. And for the next 6 weeks, I wouldn't ruin it. In fact, I wouldn't ruin Netflix for the next 6 months. But the longer I was at Netflix and the more decisions I was asked to make that were crucial, in 2 years, I'd ruin it because I'm not a CEO, right? I could take over Microsoft or Apple. You wouldn't know anything for 6 days. You probably wouldn't know anything for 6 weeks. But 6 months in, that's a weird product we passed on. The longer Miami goes with Flores, they're just getting better and better and better, and Tua's just going to get better and better and better, and the way they're developing their rookies in Miami are getting better and better and better. Like, when I watch Miami, I feel like they're a better team every week. I don't feel that with Cleveland. I kind of feel like this is what they are, hot and cold depending on who they play. So the Raiders already beat Cleveland. I look at Miami this morning. If go back to the AFC playoff picture, it's good news for Miami. Next month, Miami faces baby quarterbacks with Brian Flores and that defense. And right now, I like Miami's next month way more than I like Cleveland's. Cleveland in the next month has to face Wentz, Deshaun Watson, and he has to go to Tennessee and follows that up with the Ravens. I like Miami that. Yeah, maybe it changes in a week or two, but today, Miami, Cleveland, if I had to pick, I'd take the Dolphins.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's me. That's the show. Big week coming up. Belichick couldn't tank. The Jets kind of did. Tua looked awesome. Kyler Murray's a stud. What's up with all these young quarterbacks in the draft? Again, 3 and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff. Used to scout in the league. Now I talk about football. Subscribe to the podcast right now.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
I moved the Raiders down after a win. If it wasn't for a bobble, they lose to the Chargers. Listen, they've won 3 of their last 4 games on the road. There's something to them. They beat Kansas City, 13 straight games with 300-plus yards. Derek Carr, top 5 completion percentage. I like them. I think there's a way for them to win. I don't think they're good enough defensively, and I think as we get into Thanksgiving and beyond, defense becomes a much bigger deal. They're a good football team. I think there's a ceiling with them. I've seen them get rolled by Buffalo and Tampa at home. But I like them. I don't love them, but I like them. I thought if not for a bobble, they lose this past weekend. And, it's like Mark Schlereth said, when they do a little bully ball on offense, control it, they can win. But I see some cracks here, and I thought they were a little bit lucky this weekend.
Number 9.
I think the Dolphins would beat the Raiders today, this morning, if they played. I think their head coach is great. They've got 2 defensive touchdowns the last 2 weeks. That leads the NFL. I think they have a better defense than the Raiders. I think similarly they'll be very efficient at quarterback. I think they play as hard as anybody in the league. I mean, from special teams to defense, they got a lot of different ways they can score and beat you. I just like what Miami's doing. And I think if they played the Raiders over the next month, I think they'd give them fits. To go to Arizona and win that game in Tua's second start blew me away. Miami 9.
Number 8.
But I think they would lose to Tampa Bay. Let's not go crazy on Tampa Bay. Tampa would beat Miami because of their experience at quarterback. Tampa's got a reality now. They're really inconsistent, and they're a wild card team. And they're 0-2 against the Saints. That's their reality. Now, their defense has forced the most turnovers in the NFL and is tied for the most interceptions. But even their defense has been inconsistent. On their good days, they can beat anybody. And on their bad days, they're embarrassing. That's why I put them at number 8.
Number 7.
But I think the Seahawks would beat Tampa because despite what I saw in Buffalo, Seattle had won their last 10 East Coast road trips. Here's Seattle's issue. They're bad against mobile quarterbacks, and Brady's not mobile. I think they'd beat Tampa. First team in NFL history to score and allow 23 points in 9 consecutive games. So their games are all shootouts. The Seahawks don't play a normal game, ever. All their games are whack. All of them. They're all crazy. Their defense has allowed 3 different quarterbacks to throw for 400-plus yards this year. It's all the mobile guys. But I do think with Carlos Dunlap on the defensive line and Jamal Adams, they will get better defensively. I think this game this week was weird. They had 2 big divisional rivals, the Niners and the Rams this week, and it was a sandwich game out east, and they played awful. But I think if they played Tampa, that has a pocket quarterback, they would win.
Number 6.
But I think Buffalo would beat Seattle. How do I know? Because I just watched them. Buffalo's 2 teams. When John Brown is playing and healthy at wide receiver, they are a handful. When he's not, they're not as dangerous offensively. Josh Allen's playing well. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Let's be fair. They've only lost 2 games, Chiefs and Titans. They're good. I like their coach. The quarterback is good when he's got his full arsenal of people. That includes John Brown. Their defense isn't great, but again, I think good coaches elevate what you are. So if you're average defensively, can you be at least situationally okay on defense? I think Buffalo can.
Number 5.
I could put the Saints number 1 after this weekend, so I don't want to overreact, but they are in a 5-game winning streak. I thought their defense finally showed up. They have Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas back. And this is a big Vegas thing. Second best yardage differential in the NFL. So they've outgained their opponents by almost 650 yards. Vegas loves that. Basically, when you go into games, you win the yardage. If you do that over the course of a season, you win 10, 12 games. And right now, they're a number 1 seed. So I don't want to overreact to it, but But I love what I saw from their defense. I thought it was like, okay, and let's be honest about it. They've been all beat up at wide receiver for a month, so now they're healthy. It's a different looking team.
Number four.
But listen, here's my thing with Green Bay. I know what they are in their good days. I know what they are in their bad days. But they usually have good days. So I think they're going to win 13 games. I think they're going to be the number one or two seed. I think Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams right now are the most lethal quarterback-wide receiver combo in the league. I love Aaron Jones. There's so much I like about this team. I just don't think they're good in a phone booth. But I think a couple of the teams they don't match up well with are like Baltimore, Tennessee, you know, Pittsburgh. Oh, they're in the AFC. So I think a lot of the teams in the NFC, they do match up. I think they match up with the Saints fine. I think they match up with Seattle fine. So the teams I don't love how they match up with, the Niners are all beat up. And the other ones are in the AFC.
Number three.
Ravens. You know, it's funny. Everybody's selling the Ravens stuff. I want to read you two things. 31 straight games, they scored over 20 points. It's the longest streak in the league. And you're all telling me how bad their offense is. And 21 consecutive games, they've had a takeaway. That's the longest streak in the NFL. We got to slow down on Baltimore. They give you 27 points a week minimum, and they take the ball away from you. Lamar was 10 for 10 against the Colts in the second half. They're not perfect offensively when throwing the ball, but they're fine. They lost to the Steelers by a play on a turnover-plagued afternoon. I still think Baltimore is one of the four best teams, three best teams in the league.
Number two.
Steelers. They drive me nuts, but they have the most sacks, multiple touchdown passes for Big Ben. Everybody's close. They're too emotional for me, but I will say this. Just got a bunch of good players. They draft them well. They develop them. I've been critical of Mike Tomlin before. Sunday's why. That's why I stayed away from that bet. Oh, everybody's like, you got to take the Steelers. No way am I taking the Steelers as a two-touchdown favorite. But I will say this. There's only one great team in this league. Everybody else we can argue over. You're 8-0, I'll put you at 2.
Number one.
I think they're their own category. Head coach, A+. Quarterback, A+. Weapons, A+. Defense, A-. Kansas City. There's nothing not to like. They play well from behind. They play well with a lead. They had a little bit of a hiccup in a shootout to the Raiders. I really like what they're doing with Mahomes. The average NFL quarterback throws 35 times a game. He's now throwing 30. So they're building a running game. They're protecting him. There's just nothing I don't like about them. That is, you know, it's funny. The last 20 years, we had a dynasty that was efficient but kind of boring. They're the opposite. They can be efficient, but they're big play. I don't see a weakness. Once they start playing defense, injuries, that's it. Chidi gets hurt. Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. Travis Kelce, it's a problem. Right now, best team in the league. And then there's 9 other good teams that probably on their best day couldn't beat them. There you go. Joy, any arguments?
I think I would move the Saints up on Green Bay just because
I thought about that.
I don't like Green Bay's run defense
at
all.
No, I mean, that's totally fair. I didn't want to overreact to Sunday.
Yeah, no. It's understandable. But I like it.
By the way,
that's the only switch I would make.
Did the Packers beat the Saints? Yeah, they did, didn't they? I didn't even count for that.
But that's not what we're doing. That's not how the hierarchy works.
Listen, Buffalo, I put them one spot ahead of Seattle. It wasn't just the game. It's that Seattle is too dependent
on Russell Wilson.
Whereas I felt like Buffalo had other options beyond Josh Allen. So there you go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's a multiple Emmy-winning sports reporter. His name is Jim Gray, and you've seen him at the biggest boxing matches, at the biggest sporting events for many of our lives. He's got a new book. I can't wait to read it. It's called Talking to Goats. The stories. It's not about zoo animals. It's about the greatest athletes of all time. Jim's first interview, he was 18 years old, was Muhammad Ali, who was the biggest star in the world. He is now joining us live, and we appreciate that. All right, how'd you get Muhammad Ali at 18 years old? What's the secret sauce to that, Jimbo?
Hey, Colin, thanks for having me. Well, I was a sports intern for the ABC station in Denver, KBTV, and my internship expired and they were converting from film to videotape. So all the union guys took the buyout. And so a bunch of people who didn't really have any idea what they were doing became videotape editors. I was in my edit room one morning very early, getting ready for the draft, a Red Miller show. He was the Broncos coach. A lady named Sue Tews, the assignment editor, came running in. She said, Muhammad Ali's 2.5 hours early at the airport. Run out and get him. Well, Ali was getting ready to fight Spinks, and then he was going to fight a Denver Bronco named Lyle Alzado. Well, I'd never done an interview before, so I went into the weatherman's office, tried to find a coat and tie, couldn't find anything, went out to Stapleton International Airport, did the interview with Ali. After the first question, he said, you're the one that's doing this interview? And everybody started to laugh. Well, Colin, that just made me feel so much more comfortable, because I had gone from nervous about interviewing the most visible and famous person on the planet to now they were laughing. But they weren't laughing at me. They were you know, laughing to make me comfortable, the whole entourage. And so after the third or fourth question, he said, you sound like the local Howard Cosell. Colin, that was the greatest compliment I had ever had in my life. And it gave me so much confidence. I took the interview back to the station. The news director was a man named Roger Ogden for ABC there. He looked at the tape, and he was with me for about 45 minutes. And he looked at it again, and he said, huh, we're going to put you in this tape on the air. It's barely adequate. So I tell everybody I've been barely adequate ever since.
The only athlete that rivals him in terms of flair and greatness, Muhammad Ali, is Michael Jordan. They're both, like, great-looking, stylish, thoughtful, smart. What was it like to interview Jordan?
He was always impeccable. I mean, he I never once saw Michael have a bad public moment. He always was great. He'd pat every youngster on the head. You know, when he'd walk out of the building, you know, back when there was proximity, he'd sign autographs. He was nice to the security people. So interviewing him, Michael was just, you know, easy. He was easy to talk to. He was easy to be around. I know his teammates in The Last Dance have a different portrayal, but in terms of how he was with me and with the media, he was great. And he was just terrific in all those years that we had him on NBC and, you know, in the pregame meetings where he would come in and Marv or Ahmad would interview him. He was just a perfect gentleman. And then a few times that I got to be with him outside of the court in Barcelona, we played golf on a few occasions, and he was just great. There was nothing intimidating off the court about Michael Jordan.
What about, here's somebody that's interesting, Mike Tyson. You interviewed him after the bizarre ear-biting Evander experience. Now that had to be odd, right?
That was quite odd, and that was one that I knew when it was going to happen after he bit the ear, that nothing like this would ever happen again. And you know, he left the ring and didn't talk in the ring, and we went back underneath. I was working with Showtime, where I still do the boxing, and David Dinkins, who is the producer, was in my ear, and he said, see if you can get Don to get him to come out. So Don King brought him out. And Colin, it's the only time that I have ever seen actually somebody who is alive and I could see their skull. That's how deep over his eye the headbutt was and the wound that had opened. Wow. You could see the orbital bone in his skull. And that's why he felt he had to bite Evander Holyfield. That was the reasoning he had, that he had to retaliate. So we did the interview, and I took it in chronological order and asked him what had gone on. And finally, well, was that the proper response to bite his ear? And he answered the question. And I've always had tremendous respect and admiration for Mike Tyson, because at his worst moments, and he's had some bad, despicable moments, at his worst moments, Colin, he always had the wherewithal to stand there and answer the questions. He didn't hide behind some PR person.
Yeah.
He didn't come out with a statement 4 days later. He stood there and he took his medicine and he gave you a response. And that's very, very rare.
Were you surprised the pushback? I certainly was. The LeBron decision interview created. I still can't figure out why the nation imploded. I thought LeBron looked nervous and thoughtful. Were you shocked by kind of the national response and the anger at LeBron?
Yes, I was. And like Rich Paul has said to me and Maverick Carter, none of us had a crystal ball. None of us could foresee what went on there. And could we have been more sensitive to the fans in Cleveland? Absolutely. And could we have explained better that we were giving away millions upon millions of dollars, the biggest donation ever in the history of the Boys and Girls Club?
Wow.
Yes, we could have.
Wow.
So yes, we could have done better, but to make LeBron into a villain It was wrong then, and it should have never occurred. And if you look at that show now and what the decision has become, that was the moment. It was the Curt Flood moment for this generation of player empowerment and of the birth, really, of communicating through social media and the rise of the Players Tribune and just how things go now, the reverberations of that show and the passage of time, the NBA players and all of sports, every player in sports owes a tremendous debt of gratitude to LeBron James.
Talking to GOATs. Now, we know you've done Tiger and we know you've done Brady, and I'm going to save those for people to buy the book because I want an autographed copy as well. But I got to ask you this.
I remember
interviewing Charles Barkley when I was a local reporter, and I knew he was going to be a star. He was so funny. He made fun of my shoes. He made fun of me. You just knew. You're like, that guy's going to be hysterical on TV. Is there anybody that's not a star that you interviewed and you just loved? You just went home and, you know, that maybe we wouldn't talk about, or maybe a lower star or somebody perhaps you haven't interviewed you want to.
Well, you know, Charles was great. And I say in the book that Charles was the most entertaining, most fun guy to be around. And we used to go up and down the Ramblas at night in Barcelona at the Olympics, and then hung out with him a tremendous amount. And Mike Tyson threatened to kill me on the air. And 45 seconds later, he kissed me on the cheek. And I'm still trying to figure out what's more disturbing. Charles Barkley kissed me on my cheek twice on national television. And for no apparent reason. At least Mike was trying to make up for threatening to kill me.
Yeah.
Charles did it, and I still don't know why he did it. But to answer your question, I mean, there's a lot of guys who I've walked away and I thought, you know, that's what a pleasant, really great guy. And, you know, they're superstars too. I mean, Brady is as nice a guy and as cordial as anybody you'd ever want to meet. Wayne Gretzky, Julius Irving, Joe Namath. I don't know anybody who's more comfortable, who's been a bigger superstar, who forced a merger of a league and brought the AFL to the Super Bowl that we now see, than Joe Namath. So, and a guy who was really understated, but who had just an incredible heart and really didn't seek the limelight or anything. I love spending time around Marvelous Marvin Hagler. He was really special, Colin.
Oh, yeah. You know, my first job, I don't want to waste time here. My first job out of college was covering boxing. So instead of going to your usual first job in Midland, Texas, I got to cover Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard, and I've always thought of it as the great career break. Now, I made about $8 an hour, and I lived on peanut brittle. But both of us started basically for free. The book is called Talking to Goats. Buy it. I want a copy. This is just great. Jim, absolute pleasure. The Emmy-winning sports reporter, sportscaster of the year in America in 1997. Great seeing you, and thanks for stopping by our show.
Colin, thanks for having me.